This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And a very good afternoon to all of you out there. I'm Terry, and this is Couples of Destiny, Calvin Senzi's love. And we are going to celebrate a great couple this week coming. I mean, today, on today. So, you know, I don't know about you guys. I'm looking out there and I'm saying it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas out there. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. So here it is. You know, I've been listening to my colleague yesterday speaking about eating healthy and nutrition awareness and health awareness. You know, we've got to watch what we eat, guys, because Christmas is coming. People are eating and shopping. Their trolley's full already. So be healthy, stay alert, stay aware of what is going on in the world today so that we don't fall into a place where we get heart diseases and strokes and all those kind of things. So it's also the month of awareness of cancer awareness, especially breast cancer awareness. So I'm so passionate about all of these things right now. And for today, family, this is Couples of Destiny. And the scripture I'm going to read for us here today is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." So for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let us give thanks to the Lord today for this wonderful couple that is here, and give thanks for where you are celebrating life, and give thanks for the many blessings that God bestows upon you for your journey in life. And we are so excited today about what God has in store for us. And I am more than excited to introduce our couple to you after this particular song break we're going to have. We're going to listen to Jeremy Camp, and the song is called "The Answer." And so, family, here today with me is Karen and Johan. And this is a couple whose story is marked by love, resilience and faith through every season. Married for over 30 years, they first met in their hometown church and have built a life centered on family, purpose, and perseverance. From navigating career transitions to launching a new business together, their journey is a beautiful testimony of partnership, trust, and God's faithfulness. I'm so blessed to have you here with us, Johan and Karen. Please describe your title and your role to our listeners.
All right. Yeah, I'll start. I'm Johan. I've been married to Karen for over 30 years. If Terry says my title, my identity is centered in the Father, and he's taking me on that journey, so I don't even want to give myself a title. I'm just here to serve him, and that's me.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Terry. What a privilege it is to be able to share one's testimony. You know, I always say life is a journey, and we all have stories that is still written, and God is still writing our story, and it's just a few chapters out of our book that we get to share this morning, and we really, really appreciate it for the platform that you guys create.
Amen. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, you know what? I'm so pleased to have you, because your story is a reminder that destiny unfolds one step, like you said, one challenge. Your book is still being written, and also one act of faith at a time. So you've clearly made purpose and perseverance part of the foundations of your marriage. So for couples listening out there today who dream of having the same kind of marriage, what's been your key to staying grounded and committed through it all?
Yeah, so I'll shoot first. I like the fact that Karen said we're still writing the chapters of our stories. I when I have my quiet time, I have a learner driver emblem in my Bible. And any notes I make, I always look at this and I say, yeah, Father, you have patience with me indeed. I think for me, our world was kind of turned upside down in February this year. I had built a career over many years, and suddenly, out of the blue, I was shared the news that I'm going to be retrenched. And it's a company which I dedicated a lot of my passion and my life and a lot of my identity to. And I say that for a reason. Because I know that that's what I built my identity around, was the role that I performed, it was the company that I work for, it were the products which I sold, it's the customers I engaged with. When this happened, it kind of pulled the rug from under my feet, and I went through a combination of massive loss, but also hurt. It wasn't a nice period for me, but yet there was this still voice in me saying, I've set you free. And I was like, Father, but how do you mean you set me free? What do you mean by that? I'm not free now. I'm now in bondage. I've got bills to pay, and I've got a family to support, and there's still a whole life ahead of me. For those of you that don't know, I'm 58 now. So when I got the news, I was just below 58. I was still 57. And here I'm faced with this giant. And actually what the Father had done is he, through this process, and that's how caring and loving he is, he's actually been so graceful and merciful on us as a couple. When I look at my family and I look at the support they're giving me, but not just me, each other, through this process, I can see the Father's hand in it. I know many men out there who work really hard. My dad worked very hard his entire life. He worked so hard that eventually he had to get a whole new heart transplant. He got it at Groteskier Hospital. And he was one of the longest surviving heart transplant patients in the country. And I followed that example. I believe by working hard, you are doing something noble, and that's your identity. Work hard, work hard. If something doesn't work out, I work even harder. And I spend a lot of my time and my passion around working harder. People often have these clever quirks. They say, don't only work harder, work smarter. And for people that are doers like me, it's a frustrating comment, because the only thing I know what to do is to do. Mm-hmm. I'm a doer. I'm married to a wife who's actually, she's more a people-oriented person than me. And I think she often looks at me and thinks, oh my boy, when is this man going to sit still? Even at home, I just do stuff the whole time. I'm just one of those people. But over a process, and it took about 2-3 months of spending time in the Word, and I do just want to qualify to you, I honestly believed that I did spend time in the Word when I was still working full-time. When I started really delving into the Word and sitting with my dad, and just for the audience, it might be odd, but just 2 weeks ago, in my quiet time, the Father said to me, Johan, it's okay, you can call me Abba. I, in this process where I've had to figure out how life works now, I started missing my dad immensely. He passed away in 2013. And I so wished I could just sit and talk to him and share my heart with him for where I'm now, and find out, is he proud of me? Does he think I failed? You know, when you get retrenched, that feeling of rejection is absolutely enormous. I shared these moments with the Father, and 2 weeks ago he said to me, it's okay, you can call me Abba. I'm your Father, and I'm the one guiding you through this process. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time talking to him. I read the Bible. At some stage, I'm very fond of cycling, and when I cycle, I talk to the Father a lot. And I spoke to him, and I said, Father, I know you say I must read your Word, but I don't always understand what I'm reading. Some of it's foreign to me. And the Father said to me in that moment, he said, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, is my Word? Do you believe that Jesus came to earth and he was the Word? And I said, yes, I do. He says, well, then don't try and understand it. Just read it, because you're listening to my Word. And just by obeying that in those moments, the Father revealed elements of his heart to me, which just leaves me astounded. I cannot understand how I missed this immense grace and direction and even healing in my emotions, etc. But anyway, I can carry on for a very long time now. I also want to give Karen just the opportunity to respond to Terry's question.
Well, it's really amazing that you use that to stay grounded. You know, that is what kept you, is Abba Daddy, you know.
Yeah, and I think, Yohanemi, we were talking about this when you said to us you would like to interview us. And I just sat back and I said to Johan, you know, what would I have told my young self? I got married when I was 20 years old to Johan. And what today would I tell my younger self? And I think my basic takeaway for young couples to stay grounded is, you know, you go through phases in your life. And I think especially women nowadays, most women have daytime jobs, they're moms. I mean, we decided that I would have a part-time job and be a mom, so it was an immense privilege. But yet even that consumed me so much that you forget what your first and foremost calling for a woman being in a marital covenant is. And that is to intercede for your family, to be that Ezer. It's a Hebrew word where God says for Eve, you're the Ezer, which is the helper. Mm-hmm. And God says 16 times in the Old Testament, he is the Ezer for Israel. He's the helper.
Right.
So
right.
We need to be helpers. And helpers is, it's warrior woman.
I like that, Corin. We're going to get back to that thought. We're going to just jump over to a song by our very own Philippine. And it's called In the Mighty Name of Jesus. Well, Karen, you mentioned something so profound about a woman's first port of call, your first responsibility to your husband. Do you want to just elaborate?
Yeah, so like I say, if I wish I heard this when I was younger, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I really think we miss the call of God on women in marriage and covenant and the covering and actually the weightiness of what God has placed in us to pray, to intercede. I remember a few years ago, Johan and me went through a bit of a dip, like all marriages. And I remember standing in my bedroom the one morning, and all of a sudden I got this heaviness in my heart. And I was saying, Lord, there's an enemy in my camp, and I need you to show me strategy, and you need to give me clarity. And I remember praying that over and over, not knowing what was coming, but God was so gracious, and he brings stuff into the light. If we mm-hmm. pray, if we intercede, if the enemy is trying to stir in our kids' lives, that's why when Johan was retrenched, I mean, it's funny enough, I was walking in our suburb one morning, and there was lots of couples walking around. We've live close to a dam. And I thought, what do these people do? How do they get time to, in a weekday, to walk? God, I want this. And I put it out there. And I mean, not knowing, and I mean, I didn't want God to retrench him, but it's almost like God reminded me, you know, we intercede, and there's so much power in intercession and keeping the family together, husbands and wives and children, and be a unit in God's perfect design for families. Mm-hmm, and I just think for women I just want to encourage women in marriages and young moms busy with their kids, whatever, don't underestimate prayer and intercession and knowing what's going on with your family, interceding for your kids, that teenage child, just intercede and keep on fighting and take it to the heavenlies. And we've got a mighty Father who fights for us, our battles.
Yeah, so. He says the victory is ours. Amen. He fights for us. You know, you've gone through so many careers, through this career shift now, going from being retrenchment and going through that time. And I love the part that you spoke about how the support system is so important, you know, and you grounded I can hear that you both have taken your strength from the Word of God and from God himself, you know, because in this career shift, you know, you've built something new together. You started a business, and transition like this can be both exciting and it can be stretching. What was your experience like moving through those changes, and what is the one thing that really kept you going in that? So what I'm asking you is, how has this season of financial pressure affected the way you see and support each other emotionally and spiritually?
Yeah, I like that question, Terry, because I think that is the thing which you only learn about yourself when you are under pressure. And that's when you start realizing how well grounded you are in your relationship with a father and how well grounded you are in the relationship with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I can maybe just take a step back. You know, I've learned something about the father's heart over the last 4 years, actually. It's a thing called grace and mercy. And, you know, for many Afrikaans, people struggle with the word grace and mercy, because in Afrikaans it's pronounced as genade, generally. Very little people will talk about barmhartigheid, which is mercy. And I learned, and Karen spoke about the challenge we went through a couple of years ago. And again, I say I'm still wearing my learner license here, so challenges keep on coming and we deal with it. But I learned that there's a thing called grace, where Jesus died for us on the cross for our sins. But then there's also a thing called mercy, where you actually deserve death, but you don't get it. When this upside down event happened in our life this year, our lives, I started understanding mercy more and more and more. The Father knows that in my mind I'm a very structured person. So to throw me into the open ocean and think that I'm just going to start swimming is not who I am. It's not part of my makeup. And one morning I was lying in bed reasoning with the Father and saying, Father, but what must I do? What do I do? Mm. It's all nice and well. You get support from people, which is fantastic, and please must never stop. You get support from the Word. You get support from your community, from your local church, from friends. I've got three brothers. They cheer me on. And then I've got a son who cheers me on, and my wife and my daughter. But what is the plan? And the Father just got me to go downstairs in my house, take a piece of paper and write down a strategy. And that's the strategy which I've been living by and implemented since then. It's now the last 3 months, really. And I can really see His provision in it, which for me, it just blows my mind, because it's actually made me at peace. In this deep period of uncertainty, you know, a lot of people out there don't realize it, but when you earn a salary, your dependence, and I earned a salary my entire career, your dependence is not so much on the Father. It's on that 25th or 27th or 28th of the last day of the month, whenever you get paid,
yeah.
When your bank account says ding, and you hear the money coming in.
Yeah.
When you suddenly don't earn a salary, you realize what happened to the Israelites in the desert. There's no pension fund for them there. There's no medical aid. There's no... if they don't do something today, nothing happens tomorrow. And you start learning that total dependence on Him.
Mm.
But guess what? It is the most incredible experience of freedom you can ever ask for.
It is. You know, I think when we go through this, even in the middle of retrenchment, you know, I just want to say, Ricardo Burnett is saying, good afternoon, Pastor Terry, Johan and Karen. Good afternoon to you, Ricardo. Thank you for being there and just saying hello to us, reaching out there. Let us know your thoughts on this topic, you know, retrenchment, men facing retrenchment, women also faced retrenchment, that sense of rejection. And as you said, God has been navigating you in this journey. So in the middle, you've seen how God's hand worked. You know, there's no pension, there's no take-home pay anymore. So you've got to trust now on God alone. You know, there's no one else you can turn to. So, you know, many couples listening today are in a season of transition, whether it's career changes, whether it's raising kids or starting something new together. And in those moments, that faith really gets tested and strengthened, right? So you have walked through the change with such grace and unity. And I love the fact that you emphasized God's grace the way you did, because you've seen it from a different perspective in this walk of your life. So as you step into this new chapter together, and perhaps I could ask this to Karen, what do you believe God is teaching you about faith about teamwork and trusting one another through change. I know Proverbs 3:6 reminds us that we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, and in all of our ways we should acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And I'm sure that is probably what it was like for you. But what is your anchor in that?
Yeah, you know what, Terry, when Johan told me about the retrenchment that day, I mean, we didn't see it coming, so it wasn't, I mean, we were thinking he's going to retire at 60, so pretty much I had a career change, so I'm trying to build my business. Johan's got this on the side now, so it's quite daunting, but what we've definitely decided not to do is to tell everybody that would speak death or would focus on the shame negative, and that is people's natural response. But we basically told people that we knew would stand in the faith, that would speak life. And my daughter was actually, she was so, I think that was a Holy Spirit insight. And she said, Daddy, the fact that they let you go at this stage of your life could only be God taking you away. So we almost like had a whole paradigm shift of not, he wasn't retrenched, the season ended. And Johan ended in a high. It wasn't a company that he didn't do anything wrong. He was a good employee. I think God just took us to the next season, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I know. And the next season is always something different, something beautiful. We can't expect the next season to be the same as the previous, because seasons change drastically, like summer and winter changes, you know. The Bible says in Amos 3:3 that unity, how can the Lord command unity if the two walk together, that they will walk together in for His purpose. Well, we're going to go into a song break right now with Danny Gokey, and it's the song's title, Haven't Seen It Yet. Wow, family, you know, this couple is encouraging me so much with their story and their journey. You know, you say that each part of our lives get unfolded as we move on with God. It's a journey. Life is a journey, family. And let us know your thoughts around this topic. So, Johan and Karen, you know, your partnership and vision that you have for the future. I know this transition that you faced, this new chapter together. And I'm pretty excited for your new chapter. But what do you believe God is teaching you about this? Like I said earlier, what is this priority for you right now? You know, trusting one another through this change.
All right. Yeah. You know, that I often heard that verse, my people perish because of a lack of vision. And I actually, in one translation I read, it says, it's Proverbs 29 verse 18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. And it's, for me, actually such a beautiful word. So for me, it's just, I can't ask the Father enough to restrain me and to guide me. You know, you hear all these beautiful names of the Father. You know, He's your provider, He's your healer, He's your peace. He directs you. For me, I've been involved in strategy all my life. To be directed, it's like you're putting drops of honey in my ears. It's like amazing to hear this. But when you have to ask the Father and get that direction, how are you sensitive to listen to it? So I just, from my side, what I just want to encourage is, when you go through a process like this, if you do, is get anchors. I have certain anchors. Karen and myself have anchors. And these anchors are word-based anchors. And I'll read just one for you. I've got a whole multitude I wrote down actually to discuss today, but there's one on my heart which I feel I do want to share with people, and it's Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. And Yahweh is He who is going before you. He Himself shall be with you. He shall not fail you nor forsake you. But now, listen to me, men, do not fear nor be afraid. I've learned I've written it down on my notice board in my office. So whenever I go into maybe a moment of, yes, Father, is this going to work? Why am I not getting answers here? Why are people not responding or whatever? I read that verse. And the way I manage the fear is, and I say to my wife always, I recite Psalm 23 over and over. Guys, I think I've recited it over 10,000 times in the last 4 months.
Can never get enough of the word.
Yeah. And just by reciting it, it actually takes those voices away that want to pull you down and drag you down and make you doubt yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know, Karen, if you want to add something on to this.
Yeah, we just encourage ourselves in God's word, standing on his truths. Psalm, I think it's 35, that says, I've been young and now I'm old. We're not old. Mm-hmm. But we've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children beg for bread. And we stand on that. And, if God knows how to look after these beautiful lilies now in the Western Cape and the birds, I often look at the birds when they fly and I'm like, Lord, if you know how to look after them, surely this will be a season. And I can honestly, we don't have the time, but if I can just tell you in these past few months, miracles that has happened with regards to provision, how just supernaturally things have happened, mm-hmm. and doors open, doors close as well. Because I always say God must close the doors because I can climb over, I can dig underneath. So we always pray that God close the doors that we shouldn't go through. So, yeah, just God's supernatural provision and standing on God's word. And, I just think, make it your everyday life. It's very easy to recite it to other people when they go through hardships. But when you're there to actually take it and make it your own and really stand on God's word, because that Johan always says, God can't go against his character. If God says, this is who I am, this is who he is. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. we can't minimize that by saying, okay, but we don't mm-hmm. know if you're going to do it for us.
Yeah. I like what you said earlier on, that God opens doors and closed doors. And like Johan faced a closed door. God was saying, mm-hmm. I'm shutting this door. Mm-hmm. You're not going through. And he rebelled, although he felt the rejection, you rebelled because you didn't probably realize that God was actually shutting a door because he had opened another door. I mean, we so fondly know Johan and Karen here at Cape Pulpit as the bucket guy. Even if you have seen our buckets with all of our presenters on it, that is his new business. So, Johan, you transitioned and you've strategized and God gave you this beautiful vision and you're running with it now. So you're seeing the promises of God manifest.
Yeah, amen. Mm. Yeah, the business which we started, and I don't want to make this a marketing thing. I just, mm-hmm. It's more for me, just for people listening that is looking for hope. The business we started, the name, even we got it as a family. We decided on the name together. My son is part of the business, so him and me do the business together. Karen is the absolute support behind the scenes.
The wind beneath your wings.
Yeah, but the business has got three angles to it. There's a consultation angle to it. There's a business development angle to it. And there's a trading angle to it. Mm-hmm. And I never would have dreamt up that strategy. And there's a lot of detail to that strategy, which I won't reveal on air. But that's the vision the Father gave me. Yeah. And he just did it in such a beautiful way. Yeah. So, I'm forever thankful.
Yeah, we will hear the unfolding of that journey on another interview, but I know that things don't always go as planned. Many are the plans in a man's heart, right? But God knows the end thereof. But look, even Einstein failed. We know so many things. He failed math at school, and look at him, where he turned out. Then there's Oprah. She got fired from her first TV job. There's so many people that we can relate to. Then Colonel Saunders, for example, he couldn't even figure out chicken until he was 65. Mm. So you're thinking, I'm close to my pension age, and God is saying, but I'm opening up a door. Here's another Colonel Saunders stepping out, basically, So you're in great company. The point is here that failure is part of success. Yeah. We should never look at failure as a place now to go into dissipation and go all depressed, It's like the bad haircut before the glow up kind of thing. But I'm so encouraged with your story. Romans 15 verse 13 says to us that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
Amen.
And you guys are trusting in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I see that hope overflowing in both of you today. I see how you guys are growing in the faith and how you're growing in your business and in the hope that God will be opening up some more doors. But I'm sure that also wasn't easy for you, Johan. With your strategy and you find pitfalls, Is there something you want to share with us about that?
It's the normal life happens. And I think for me, the key is just stay resilient and keep your grit. The Father make that, I don't know if any of you've seen the series, The House of David, but at some stage, David says to Jonathan, The glory of God is not revealed when you're picking up stones next to the river. The glory of God is revealed when you stand in front facing the giant. And that's what I want to encourage people. When those giants are in front of you, be expectant, because that is where God shows his glory. It's not when you're comfortable sitting somewhere on your couch and hoping for the best. Go out there and trust the Father. Be brave. There's many verses in the Bible that talks about courage and bravery. The Father expects us to be brave because we believe in him and we go under his command. We're under the command of the King of all kings. He is the King.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I'm looking at a comment here from Janine Pasens. She says, great topic. Very encouraging. Thank you. Janine, we hear you. We're so honored to have you online here with us. And I'm going to ask this couple after our song that we're going to listen. I'm going to ask this couple to leave you with a powerful prayer and a powerful word of encouragement before we end the show of today. I'm really grateful to God for what he's doing in your lives. So if you are listening with us today, family, tell us what your go-to place was when you were in a place of retrenchment, when you felt rejected. What happened for you? What was your turnaround? How did you? You know, a lot of people look at the Word of God and they fall in love with the Word. And my thing is, it's great. We love the Word of God, but we need to fall in love with the God of the Word.
Amen.
You know, when we have that relationship with God, Abba Daddy, when we can call him Abba Daddy, that's when thing changes.
Amen.
For all of us, isn't it? So we're going to go to a song break here by Casting Crowns, and it's called Good Father. And family, we at this time now where I'm going to ask this wonderful couple who have been such a blessing to us, talking about their life journey and how without money, honey, they still survived. They pressed through with the support of family. Come on now, let's pray for those out there, Johan, who might be facing what you have faced.
Yeah, Father, if we can all just close our eyes and just for a moment stop what we're doing. Father, thank you that you always care for us. And thank you that the core of you is love. And Father, help us that when we doubt your love, that we will turn back to your love, Lord, because you cannot not be love. That's your character. And I pray that when people face these giants, Lord, that your glory will be revealed to them, that they will experience your glory and see your glory. Lord, that the enemy cannot blind them. And Father, I put every person at this moment who's maybe going through retrenchment, who's going through financial difficulties, who's going through financial pressure, Lord, I put them under your authority. And I say, Satan, you have no place in nobody's lives. All these people are standing under your authority, Father. You are Yahweh. You are our provider. You care for us and you look after us. I pray for calm and peace in these households. I pray that spouses can support each other and children. And I pray that you will just reign in these situations.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I see my husband has been online there and he said, thank God for his supernatural provision.
Amen.
God will always provide. Thank
Amen.
You for that powerful prayer, my brother. I just want to leave this last scripture with your family. Give thanks in all circumstances.
Amen.
In everything, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you and I. This has been Couples of Destiny. Join us next week as we keep talking love, faith, hope for God's design in marriage. Keep choosing each other as you keep choosing God. This is Terry saying bye now.
Bye. Thank you for having us, Terry. It was lovely.
Yeah, Terry, thank you. And thanks for the audience for listening and inviting us into their homes.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.